You're live, Pastor. Where can my microphone go?
Hallelujah. It's right here. No problem.
No cloud party shirt?
No, that's okay. They know a cloud party.
That's right.
Anyway, my wife is going to pray us in, then we'll get started, okay?
Amen.
All right.
Amen. You guys. Thank you, Pastor. Minister.
Thank Pastor, you, Mother.
Mother. All that.
All right.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we just thank you for this day, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the reminder of your heavenly music, dear Jesus, that just speaks your words through the heart of your people, dear Lord, and remind us what we should be preparing for, dear Jesus, how our day should look, dear Lord, as we are preparing to be in your glory, dear Lord, each and every day of our lives by doing your will and not our own. So we thank you for this day, dear Jesus, like it's like no other, dear Lord. I pray that everyone that came today receives and hears a word from you, that their heart came expecting to hear a word, dear Jesus. And that your Holy Spirit delivers, dear Lord, through Pastor Sandy on this day. In Jesus' name, we will be sure to give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. All right. Praise the Lord. That is God is good all the time. Be'ivrit in Hebrew. And so all my Havarim Be'Israel can know that we are with them, praying for them. They went into a synagogue in Israel and arrested a rabbi because he was praying without his mask on. I'm like, we are in the end of the world. That is crazy. Anyway, before we get started, we want to celebrate with these two twins, beautiful twins, Charlene and Marlene. One is Rossinger, is her last name, and you know, they grow up and they get married. And the other one's name is Morrow, which is her name. Anyway, they had already accepted Jesus Christ and they wanted to get baptized. And of course, churches aren't open. So who do you call? Pastor Sandy, he does telephone baptism.
Video
baptism. So anyway, they baptized each other. Well, isn't that kind of cool?
That's cool.
And then, so we just wanted to show them their baptism certificates, and Pastor Ben's going to put them into the mail for you tomorrow. And wow, amen. This might become, let me show Marlene hers. And there we are.
Hallelujah. Thing, Pastor
Ben. Yes. Amen. Okay, you know all the visitors, right? Because we got quite a few. Yeah, you do. You didn't meet them in prayer?
Oh, I met them in prayer, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Did you sign them?
No, not yet. I'll sign them after. I'm a little busy right now, Pastor.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so let me get my notes out here because we have some amazing days ahead of us. And I want you guys to know, I wish we could have got notes, but by the time I got this message, the Lord had... you guys were already in church and Pastor Ben was already here, so I couldn't really do anything about it, but I wish you guys could all see it. Do you guys remember August 21st, 2017, we had an eclipse? You guys remember that? And the sun or the moon blocked the sun. And anyway, that was August 21st, 2017, exactly 211 days later. Tell her to turn my phone off back there, because somebody will call me. And okay, if it's somebody important, bring it, like the girls who got baptized. Okay, if it's Trump, tell him I'll talk to him later. Okay, all right. Were you able to turn it off? Okay, thank you. Okay, now August 21st, 2017, we had a solar eclipse, okay? And everybody went out to see it. It was a big deal. We're going to have another solar eclipse 1,211 days later on December 14th. Why is that day important? It's the fourth day of Hanukkah. And exactly 40 days after the 17th of Heshvan, which was the anniversary of the flood.
Right.
Okay, and then exactly 1,211 days after that, there'll be another eclipse in the middle of the tribulation, April 8th, 2024. Okay? I'm going to write this on the board so it can become more real to you guys that somebody is planning these days, because you don't separate eclipse exactly 1,211 days apart.
Right.
Twice. Somebody upstairs is not doing that, okay? Amen. So praise God, and we're going to get started. All right, everybody ready?
Ready.
Okay. I was looking at a picture of a friend of mine who died of meningitis in college, 19 years old, and at which time after he died of meningitis, I became, yeah, come over here. I can't see you guys. It's like, yeah, slide over. I'm not, okay, praise God. So anyway, he died at 19, and then, of course, I was really sad about that. He was a Christian, and he died at 19 of meningitis. Very good football player, very good student, more mature than any of us who were in college at the time. And he died of meningitis. And I just thought, well, I'm done. I'm not reading the Bible anymore. I'm not. And, you know, if you get dejected, Satan sees that you're dejected. So he wants to come and try to offer you new things that'll help lift you up, because he's so truthful, right?
Yeah.
So he brought into my life Islam. And as I'm going through that, the Lord gives me a dream of Derek Singleton, my friend who died. And it's more a vision than a dream, because I wake up and I am in the middle of paradise in heaven. And there is Derek Singleton. And I'm looking around at first, and I ask the question to myself, where am I? And I turn around and I see Derek, and I say, and he says, Sandy. And I say, Derek, where am I? And he says, this is part of the kingdom of God. And I went, wow. He said, and then he said, look up there. And I saw all these big homes that were on top of this hill. And he said, remember him? He lives there. And remember that person? He lives there. And when he was saying it, every name was registering in my head. And he said, and he lives there. And I was like, wow. He says, come on, I'm going to show you where God is. So we started running. He's faster. So he's running ahead of me. I'm running behind him. And I wake up. And from that day on, I wasn't worried about where he was. I knew he was in heaven. I knew that it was real. I knew that. And I knew one thing. I didn't want to be a Muslim anymore. So I got out of that thing, and I'm like, okay, I got to get back with the Lord. I want to go into heaven because I want to see Derek, because a Muslim guy told me, you keep being a Muslim, you're going to end up in hell. So he was an ex-Muslim. He was for 11 years. So that is my experience, one of my experience of heaven, okay? I had three more. Two in the same place and one in the city. And I don't know why God always shows me heaven, but he wants me to know that it's real. Because people get into the idea that you get a little time here and then you poof and then that's it and you're gone. And God wants everyone to know your life is a comma, it's not a period, okay? It's going to continue. You're going to be around a long time. And here is the place where you choose where you're going to be for eternity, because you don't really understand life. You understand you came into the world. You're a flesh being, right? I always use the analogy of being in a stomach. You know, when you're in the stomach, that's all you know. You know what I mean? You have no idea that there are other kids out there eating ice cream, you know? Because you're in the stomach. You're just eating whatever mama eats, right? But there's a whole nother life outside of you that you have no idea until you get born, right? And that's what God wants you to know. There's a whole nother life outside of this after you get born out of here. You understand? So I want you to know and understand from that song. And the song said, it is a wonderful thing to be invited to the wedding of the Lamb. The son and the bride connecting for the first time. Okay? This is an honor to be invited. And all of the world, even though they've accepted the invitation, they have not accepted. They have been granted the invitation. They have not accepted the invitation. Okay? And if you've accepted the invitation and you're on your way, you should be rejoicing with all your heart, because the hardest thing to change in a human being is the heart. I don't know what we're made of, but you can, like the Lord told me before, like, these people walk through water. So, and the water is standing still on this side, and the water standing still on that side. And they know that God just did that. They just came out of Egypt. They walk through on dry ground, get to the other side. And what did they start doing? And you might say, praising God. They start sinning. And it's like, so a miracle does not change your heart. Okay. Somebody doing something good for you, believe me, we've been pastors for a long time.
Yeah,
we have treated some people very well. And that will not change the heart. You understand?
Amen.
So if your heart has been changed and you want to know God, you should hold on to that. Stay in your word, because you have something rare that Satan still thinks that he could take it from you. You know what I mean? Rather it's through your emotions, rather it's through other friends, rather it's through a lie, rather it's through a false religion. He still thinks that he can take that from you. Okay. We have a very important day coming up here. And that very important day is going to be Hanukkah. Who knows who Enoch is? You guys know? Okay, let me explain who Enoch is. Enoch walked with God. He was a prophet of God, you can say. He was the one who taught righteousness in his day. Enoch was incredible. Enoch, when you get to heaven and you say, Enoch, tell me about the flood, you know what Enoch's going to say? I was gone before it even happened. I know nothing about the flood. We are living in the days of Noah. And Enoch will be able to tell you, God took me before the flood even came. He took me out of the earth before the flood even came. This means that Enoch is one person, one body. The body of Christ is how many people?
One.
Many people, but one body. So one body is going to be removed before the flood. And God has situated this whole thing. It appears right now that it would happen at the time of Enoch. And we say Hanukkah, but you know, in English, when we transfer a word from Hebrew to English, we always try to use the English letters that's going to make it work, right?
Amen.
Well, Hanukkah only is, I can speak over that. Don't worry about it. I can see what God did. You know, I already stopped it. Anyway, Hanukkah is actually Enoch. There's no such word as Hanukkah. The word is Enoch. Okay. Enoch, the celebration of Enoch is Hanukkah. Okay. So how did this get to be? How did Hanukkah come to be? Okay. I want you to know, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. And before I go there, I'm going to read something to you. What'd you do with my bag, Pastor Ben?
Well,
oh, it's back there. Oh, in the side pocket are my glasses. I looked at my Bible and it looked like black lines. So I need my glasses.
I got a pair.
Okay, I can read this because I wrote it. I printed it big. Okay, now, in Okay, the anniversary of the flood was, thank you, Nicole, that's my little sis. The anniversary of the flood was election day. On our election day was the 17th of Heshvan. And that day was the day that the flood began, and the waters burst open, and the flood began on the 17th of Heshvan, which happened to land this year exactly on our election day. And so people ask me, well, if the boat is still on the earth, because one day of water is not going to lift the boat up. If the boat is still on the earth, did it begin to rain that day? And I say, yes, there was a earthquake on the island of Patmos where John wrote the book of Revelation. And we received a Nephilim back in the White House, elected by rather fraud or whatever. He's back in the White House. And I have to read this to you. Now watch this. It says, when America has cast their ballots for a president, which they did November 3rd and 4th, they were not voting directly for Biden or the incumbents. And a lot of us don't know that. Or President Trump, but rather for the state's electors, because they get these electoral votes. The members of the Electoral College cast their votes for president and on behalf of the state, of their state. The Congress convenes to count the electoral votes and announces the results of the election. Okay? So it just happens to be that this means that all courts challenge the state's election. Any challenge of the state's election have to be done before December 8th. Because every state has to clarify or certify election outcome and deadline is on December 14th, which is 40 days after the election, or it rained for 40 days. And then after the 40 days came what? That was rain for 40 days. And on the 40th day, the boat lifted up 15 cubits and was high above the earth. Okay? So I'm trying to let you know what day and hour we're living in, okay? It has been a long time that Christ has wanted to marry his church. It has been a long time for people to give their lives to Jesus Christ. God has been very patient with people to give their lives to Jesus Christ. But at some time, that is going to be over. I put it in my pocket. I said, Lord, I'll write it down. I'll put it in my pocket before we go to Leviticus. The Lord says, this world is like a homeowner who has received an eviction notice. And they've been told you have a certain amount of time to get out of that house. And they have told them the sheriffs will be there on this particular day, and they will arrive with trucks. Any of your own belongings in the house will be thrown in the trunk and in the dumpster. And they receive this notice, and they read it, and they start decorating the house and planting a garden in the back. And they completely ignore the notification that something is about to happen, okay? The Lord said, you cannot pay any attention to the people of this world now because they're signing 10-year contracts and they're thinking about 40 years from now and all of these things, right? But God says, the world is on my calendar, not theirs. Right. And so the eviction notice is on God's calendar. And so God is the one who is going to come. But he says, pay no attention to the people of the world because they always act and do the same things that they do. OK. And even though they know there's an eviction notice, they're still going to act and do the things they do. Your job is to know that it's the day is coming. OK. I had a dream last night and the Lord said, tell you about the dream. In the dream, the COVID thing was still going on. And then two bullies met And then there was a war. So I'm wondering, who are these two bullies? The COVID thing was going strong and strong in my dream. And then two huge bullies met together. And then it started a world war. And the war was like just going and going as I woke up. But the Lord wanted me to know it's going to happen exactly the way Psalms 120 says, because Psalms 120 is the year 2020. It starts off with lies. It ends in war. Okay. And so our thing is, how do we get out of here? Because you're not going to be able to save yourself from what's coming.
Right.
I feel so bad for all the young people because, I mean, we had at least a somewhat of a normal life.
Yeah.
Going to school on computer, that's weird. I mean, it's just so many incredible things that are going on now that we have to understand. So if you in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and we're going to be in 23, and we're going to be in verse 34. I'll start at 33. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelite, the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacle begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a secret assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. And on the eighth day, hold a secret assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is the closing assembly. Do no regular work." So you guys, if you aren't familiar with the Feast of Tabernacles, they have feast days all year. The Feast of Tabernacles is on the 15th of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. On that day, God commands them to have a party for 7 days. Celebrate, dance, because the fullness of the harvest is in. Celebrate and dance. And then on the eighth day, have a bigger party. And celebrate and dance on the eighth day because it's a new beginning, right? So this is an eight-day affiliation and an eight-day celebration for the people of Israel, okay? It is in the month, it's in the month of Tishri. It is in Tabernacles during the week of Tabernacles, which Jesus was born or conceived. No, he was born during the month of Tabernacles, okay? He was born during the month of Tabernacles. And so Tabernacles, something happened on Tabernacles. And I'll explain it to you. There was a king by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes had taken control of the temple. He was living there in the temple. He was sacrificing pigs on a Jewish temple in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And the Jews, he was taking their Bibles and burning them. And so they were under this cruel person who had taken over the temple and was treating the Jews very bad. And now one of the Jewish men, Matthew, he said, well, to not understand the Maccabees, he decided we've had enough. So they go in, they form an army, they go in, they destroy Antiochus Epiphanes, they destroy his army, they take back the temple of God, and then they rededicate the temple to God on what? On the day they call dedication, Enoch, okay? It's the Feast of Dedication. So on this Feast of Dedication, they rededicate the temple back to God. And they say, we only have enough oil for the menorah lamp to last 1 day. And they said, we'll light it anyway and let's pray. So they light the menorah lamp. It stays lit for 8 days. And then it becomes a miracle of this 8 day. And so they have what they call Hanukkah, but it's an 8 day celebration. Why did they celebrate it? Because they couldn't celebrate tabernacles. So therefore, they just said, we'll celebrate tabernacles now for the 8 days, and we'll thank God for having the temple back. OK. We have to understand that to understand what I want you to know right now as we go to the book of John, chapter 10. When you get there, say amen. And John chapter 10. Okay, we're going to be at verse 22. And it says, Then Jesus came, the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter. What's dedication? Hanukkah. So Jesus is at the feast of dedication, and it's Hanukkah. And he has a few things that he wants to say, because he's trying to explain to you an event that I'm now thinking, has he really planned it for Hanukkah? Which is December 13th, 14th, for those 7 days. Has he really planned it for those days? But let's listen to what he says. He says, it was winter and Jesus was in the temple area in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe it. The miracles I do, my Father, in my Father's name, speak for me, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So he makes this announcement on Hanukkah that when he calls, his sheep hear his voice. And he leads them out. Out where? Out of the world. And he leads them out. And when he leads them out, he's not going to lose any, because no one can take them from his Father's hand. Now, if you don't know or understand what the rapture is, it's only because Satan wants this one thing to be silenced in the church. Matter of fact, the guy that wrote Left Behind was a pastor. He was doing well. Then he wrote Left Behind, and they said, you can't be pastor here anymore. What is this big, huge thing that the church has to suppress the idea that Jesus is going to come and take his people out of the world at a certain time? Why is it that if you go to a church, you can speak? If I get invited to a church, they say, what do you want to speak on? And I'll say the rapture. And they'll say, well, I have to talk to the people who are in charge of the church to see if that's OK. Why is this one subject has to go through the board for me to be able to talk about Jesus coming and taking the church out of the world? Because it's the one thing that's the most important thing in heaven is what? The taking the bride out of the church. It's the one most important thing. The wedding of the Son is the most important thing in heaven. that one day the church, all the members are going to be taken to heaven so that the world can go through tribulation. If you don't know about it, then you weren't looking for it. So religion just became religion to you, right? And therefore, because you don't think you're really involved in anything but trying to be good so you can say you're a Christian. That's not what this is about. This is about saving your life so God can give you real life outside of here. You understand? So the whole thing of the rapture, the whole thing of you being taken out of the church has been suppressed. And what has replaced that? Name it and claim it. Getting your breakthrough.
Live your best life now.
Live your best life now. Everything has replaced the main subject of the Bible, which is the wedding. Okay? And from the very beginning, Adam gets what? Married. He brings his bride. So from the very beginning, God starts talking about a coming wedding. Okay? Now, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24. Because Pastor Ben said, you have got to let the church know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting at my house watching Left Behind with my brother, and he absolutely knew nothing what was going on. And he goes to church. I figure, you know, his church has got to at least mention the rapture in the, you know, 18 or so years he's been going there. And he's sitting there, and we're watching Left Behind, and all of a sudden, the little kid disappears. And then they find out that all the Christians have been taken out of the earth. And they go, oh, and my brother's going, what happened? I almost started crying. I mean, what do you mean what happened? It's the rapture. It's been talked about from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's Jesus coming to take his bride before the tribulation starts. Oh, so then we watched the rest of the movie. Right after the movie, started reading his Bible. But you have to understand, this is the reality of Christianity. Yeah. I don't want you to know what's really going on. I want you to be a part of a religion because it's going to be boring to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
And it's not going to teach you that God wants to have a relationship with you. It's going to teach you how to be religious.
Yeah.
And you're going to be religious. Tahira said something in the thing this morning. She said, it is easier to be religious than it is to have a personal relationship with God.
Wow. She's right.
Because you can just go somewhere and follow the rules and do that. But to get confronted by the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day about growth, yeah, and how you're doing, and I want to be involved in your life, you're talking about a completely different thing that has nothing to do with religion. You're talking about something that has to do with God wanting to talk to you every day. And you don't even need a church for it. All you need is a Bible and some quiet time. And God would prefer that than you go to church and do your little fake, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Pastor God. Because that's to God, that's like, okay, you went to church. Yeah, I clocked in, Lord. So what? You clocked in for church. Who cares? What about home? What about, are you spending time with me in your word? How are you treating people when other people aren't watching you? I want to know personally. See, it's easy to be a Christian in words and in religion. It's harder to be in a day-to-day relationship with God. Okay?
Amen.
So in Matthew chapter 36, 24:36. I need a marker because I'm going to cross it off right now. A pen, Pastor Ben. Because I'm going to cross it off right now. It says, no one knows about the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven. I'm crossing out, nor the Son. Because in the original Greek translation, it never says the Son. Do you know that? It never says nor the Son. If it said nor the Son, that would mean Jesus is not God.
Right.
So in the English translation, somebody said, oh, let's add nor the son. And so we have some translations, about half of the English translation says the son doesn't know either. Jesus is God. He knows the day or the hour. But he's trying to tell you about something that's going to happen. He says, but only the Father. As it was, didn't he just say in chapter 10, me and the Father are one? As it was in the days of Noah, that the days of Noah began November 4th, and we're on a 40-day flood thing right now. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other one left. Now, so that God makes sure that you understand what he's talking about, now you go back to the Greek, and the Greek says, one will be taken, peralambano, which is a word that means you will be taken as a friend or a companion. Peralambano doesn't mean I just take you. It means I have to take you as a friend or a companion. It is a marriage. So the word taken specifically is talking about for a good reason. The word lifame, which be left, means that you will be divorced. And this is when God tells me you can't get divorced unless you were married. So I'm not talking to non-believers because they were never invited. I'm talking to people who know God, but don't understand that lukewarm doesn't make it into the kingdom of God, because lukewarm is Christianity religion. I go to church. I'm an usher. I know the pastor, but that's not Christianity. Christianity is, I'm in my word. Me and the Lord were talking the other day. He says he wants me to do this. That's what I'm going to do. This is a whole nother different thing, right? I was brokenhearted, and the Lord comforted me. And he told me to read this scripture, and it told me this. And so this is what I did. This is a whole different thing than going to church. This is a personal relationship with God. When Jesus says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father. He says, I will say to them, away from me, I don't gnosko you. What does gnosko mean? I never had an intimate personal relationship with you. You just went to church. Me and you never talked. You don't know my word. We're not friends. Your Savior is your pastor. You know him better than you know me, because you never really had spent any time with me. You understand? I don't want to know you better than you know your own Bible, and you better than you know Jesus. A relationship is between you and God. It's not between you, God, and your pastor. Okay? I'm just an in-between go guy. Like, okay, this is what I think you should do. Let's pray about it together, because I'm in this with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But as soon as you start believing that church is the biggest thing, because look, I love my son. He went to work today, and his personality is very quiet, very to himself. You don't hear much about him. I walked in one time, he was praying, so I almost started crying. Like, my son's in there praying. And I don't get it, that he has this personal relationship with God that I don't understand, because I think he's got to be talking to me all the time, so I know, you know what I mean? But he doesn't have to be talking. He has a personal relationship with God. Some friends of his told him, hey, we're going to go to my house and play video games. So he calls me, Dad, can I go to my friend's house and play video games? Yeah. So he gets off the phone, and his friends tell him, no, we really get ready to go to these girls' house, man, and we hang out with them. And so he calls me right back and said, Dad, they were getting into some stupidness. Just come get me. And I went. He has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows that God is watching him, even if I don't. That's what God wants to know. What are you doing when nobody's watching you? Because that's who you really are. And this is what God is coming for. Watch this. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. Then I'm going to show you my board. And you guys are going to go, this guy really believes that we don't have much time left. Yes, he does. You guys are in the middle of the worst time in the history of mankind. Yes. Okay? It's like you've received a notification of eviction, and anybody who's ignoring it is a fool.
Right.
You can't be a rabbi in Israel can't have the police go into the synagogue and arrest the rabbi because he's not wearing a mask and he's in a room praying. Ain't nobody in there with him. Where's your mask? And I'm like, what kind of world are we living in?
That's crazy.
And then we see all the businesses that now they're saying we're going to have a second shutdown and all of this. And all of this is going to happen. We get a new president, or we get the old one, but we get a new president December 14th, exactly 40 days after the election, which landed on the day of the flood, which it rained for 40 nights before the boat lifted up above the earth. Somebody's timing stuff. And I'm trying to explain to you guys something is going on, okay? Bring me the eviction notice so I can read it again. Because we can't ignore it. You in Thessalonians chapter 4? Ooh. Okay. Verse 13. Brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. I hope you guys believe that. Because all of history tells it happened. Okay? And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. He's talking about people who have already died in Christ. They're going to go with Christ first. Understand that. But what about us who are walking around? He says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You don't like going to school online? There's a rapture coming. That's what I tell my son. I say, don't worry, online school will be over soon. You don't like having your beauty salon shut down by who knows who? Police coming in telling that you got to shut down all of this stuff that's going on. If you don't like it, hold on a little while. Because you're living in a time where an eviction notice has been sent out and the whole world's ignoring God. And we can't do that. And we can't let Satan trick us and make us think that we are in this to be religious. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Okay? Because you know what? When I go home, God is watching how I treat my wife. God's watching how I treat my kids. You know what I mean? And so we're in this. Here, let me go to the board because I want to show you guys this actual map that I have here, okay? Then I'll tell you what it means, okay? We'll leave that. We'll erase this because that's Hebrew school stuff, okay? That's historical stuff. We might have to erase that too. Yep, we gotta erase this too. Okay. Now, here we go. I hope this one works. Okay. So we go August, 21, 2017, you have an eclipse, okay? It goes across the United States like this, okay? Then, 211 days later will be December 14th, 2020. And guess what? We're going to have another eclipse, but it's going to go like this. Make a cross. Okay? Then, in 2024, which is exactly 1,211 days, on April 11th, during Passover, April 8th, 2024, there'll be another eclipse, and that one will go making the cross of the first one. Okay, now, is somebody planning these days apart, or are we just tripping? Okay, all right, so these days are set apart, okay? Now, November 4th, this year, was the election, and we elected, I'll just say, a Nephilim back into the office. He's not all human. He does a lot of very evil things. First time he had to drop out, it was because he got caught doing what he still does. I don't even want to mention it. But he just got elected president. To me, this day was also Heshvan, which was what? The anniversary of the flood. On the Hebrew calendar was this. On our calendar was this. So on this day, now, 40 days after, on this, there was flood for 40 days. At the end of that 40 days will be December 4th, which will also be the fourth day of Hanukkah. Okay? Why is the fourth day so important? Who's the number four?
Jesus.
Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Delete. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. So, and what is the fourth? I wish I could take that picture. The fourth is the center of the menorah lamp. You got one, two here, one, two here. So you got one, two, three. The center lamp is called the servant lamp, which represents four, which is Jesus Christ. So on the fourth day of Hanukkah, it's 40 days from the election day. What you're going to get in this short time is going to be one of two things. You're going to either have elected into the office Joe Biden, who is a Satanist, child pedophile, and has been caught on camera doing it more than once. And they have the stuff, but he still got elected. Trump says he cheated. He's going back in, or either he's going back in. And if he goes back in, he has the warp speed vaccine ready for the military to enforce on every American citizen before the end of the year. So you've got two things, and neither one of them is good, right? And is the church, is God going to allow the church to be here to have to say, no, we're not going to take the vaccine, throw us in prison? Are we going to have to go into that tribulation of refusing a vaccine and going to prison, or choosing to die or not take a vaccine? Or is somebody counting days?
Yes.
Because I can't explain to you that it's the 6,000th year. I can't explain to you it's the 120th year. I can't explain to you it's the 6,000th. We're in the 6,000th. We're on the 120th. This is the perfect time of Noah. I can't explain all of that to you. All I can say is you've got some really crazy days ahead of you.
Yeah.
And you've got to see what is God about to do, because the world is going to come to two bullies and war. And is God going to leave the church here to deal with that? Or is God finally about to take the church out of here to not know anything about it, like Enoch?
Yes.
Who is our Hanukkah? This is what the church is supposed to be teaching you. I'm not supposed to be teaching you how to be a good tither.
Amen.
I don't even want your money if you don't want to live for God. Because it's a horrible thing to try to pay God off. You can't do that.
Amen.
I've seen people do that. I've been at churches where God, with everybody knows the guy's a drug dealer, but he pays tithes. Mm-hmm. So nobody says nothing.
Right.
It's like crazy. The mentality of the church in the last, 20 or so years has gone so crazy. And everybody got caught up in it. Mm-hmm. Name it and claim it. Get your breakthrough. Or do you speak in tongues or don't you speak in tongues? Yeah. It got so crazy that nobody was reading the Bible. Everybody was just being religious. And the church was absolutely nuts. I met with a pastor and he told me, we have the biggest single ministry in California. All of this ministry, all of these people come together every Thursday, and we have a singles ministry. The women sit over there, the men sit over here. And he says, we've been having it for 7 years and it keeps getting bigger. I said, how many weddings have you had? He said, one. I said, well, you got a fornication section there.
Right.
You just got a place where them to meet.
Oh my
goodness. You only did one wedding in 7 years? In a singles meeting where you're getting 2,000 people every church service?
The dating site.
In the church.
I did not want to be a pastor. I'm telling you right now, I was like, God, please, can I just stay in prison ministry? Can I just talk to gang members and do this? Do I have to do that? Because I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want nobody to call me pastor. Now, that's like calling you a used car salesman, right? I did not want that. You know what I mean? It's like you're ashamed to say it. I was in the prison. I'm witnessing on the street. I'm growing in Christ. I'm having a personal relationship. I didn't want to do church because I don't want to be a part of a show. I want to be a part of what I know works, and that is a personal day-to-day relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You need your Bible. You need your personal prayer time. You need to be a good cultivator of your children, because they're your responsibility. Mm-hmm. They're your seed. So somebody's got to water them and teach them, or else you can let Jay-Z raise your kids, right? So I'm saying somebody's got to raise my kids, or TV will raise my kids.
Yeah.
So I know from reading the word that I had to disassociate myself with the world. I had to basically divorce the world and say, I want nothing to do with you. I don't want nothing to do with your music. I don't want nothing to do with your movies. I don't want nothing to do with you. I want to just be submerged in Christ, and I want a relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, I'm telling you this because when the trumpet blows and we're out of here, and we're on a cloud, I expect to see you. I want to see you. And so I'm not going to tell you. And the Lord told me, if you don't, he told me this morning, if you don't preach what I tell you to preach to people, you're responsible for them missing the greatest day of in the history of man. Because what I'm telling you is not what the church wants to tell you. The church wants to tell you it's okay to be a good member without being in good relationship with God. And that's not true. Be in relationship. You should see me and already be full of the Holy Spirit from your week of reading the word, from your week of praying. You should already be full. You should never come in here empty.
Right.
Because it's not my job to feed you here and follow you home and cook for you. Put it in your mouth. You want me to chew it for you too? That's not my job. My job is like, I'm a restaurant. I serve a meal once a week right here. That's it. You're the rest of the week, you're on your own. If you come back starving, that's your fault. You have a Bible. Here's a cooking book. Go home. Come back. Can we all get to the cloud safely? Because the enemy does not want you to make it there. And so he has many deceptions. The biggest thing he wants you to do is get involved in the world, be involved with what they're doing, listen to their music, because there's demonic spirits in their music. Mm-hmm. He wants you to do what they're doing. So then when things start happening, you don't understand what's going on, but you haven't divorced them yet. You know what I mean? Right. To get married, you have to like... You can't be like, your ex-wife can't follow you into your new marriage. You understand? You're trying to bring your ex-life into your new marriage, and it's like, it ain't gonna work. It's like, you can't hang out with me anymore. I'm getting married, you know? So you gotta let it go, submerge yourself in Christ, have a true relationship, and when the trumpet blows, it'll be a day of dancing. Praise God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.